Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast, featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Hell. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
How many RPMs would it take for the Juliocopter to actually fly away, and how many fumbles would happen as a result?
Well, that's a trick question, because you can only fumble once.
If you're not having fun when your team is 11-2 and win back-to-back division titles for the first time in 50 years, then you need to stop watching.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Saints Happy Hour podcast. As always, we are live streaming. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Tonight, it's a rare treat. It's me and Kevin until Andrew gets done dispatching whatever 75-year-old man he has to beat at tennis. As always, we are sponsored by SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know you're getting the best bang for your buck. A green light means it's a great deal. Yellow light means it's a good deal. Red, not so great. Use the promo code ACAA at checkout and receive $20 off your first purchase. That's two free beers at the stadium on them. What are you waiting for? The promo code again, ACAA, for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. All right, Kevin. It's June, and people are probably thinking we don't have a lot to talk about, but no, they would be wrong.
No, they are correct.
Because we have topics that are Saints-related and non-Saints-related, and we had, like, blood in the streets today on the group text about the ridiculous topics. So I'm going to save the couple of the ridiculous topics for Andrew when he gets here. But I want to talk to you. Drew Brees had his big trial last week about his diamonds, where he sued his ex-friend now for, like, selling him a bunch of diamonds. And then he had him appraised for insurance value, and they're like, dude, these diamonds that you thought were worth like $9 million are really only worth like $5 million. So Drew Brees sued his now ex-friend, saying that he got screwed over, that they said they were value more. I don't know what the court deal is, but Drew Brees in these court photos, Kevin, he looks kind of pathetic. Like, he looks like...
There ain't no kind about it.
I mean, I love Drew, but he looks like angry dad at TGI Fridays that is trying to get his app paid for free.
I mean, I don't know. He looks like he's sitting there, you know, like a middle management salesman. It's like the wife and kids are, you know, like, you know, the kids are screaming about, can they get dessert? Can they get dessert? And the wife's like trying to talk to him about, well, we need to plan when we're going to go to your mother's, and you know, my sister's going to come in town in 2 weeks, and he's not really paying attention. He's off. He's drifting away, thinking about 20 places he'd rather be. And instead, he's got to sit and listen to everybody talk. And it's like inside his head is basically, hello, darkness, my old friend.
I will say this one thing that Drew Brees is doing. He's really busting stereotypes left and right. Because what's the stereotype of NFL players, right? NFL players that are poor and come from disadvantaged backgrounds are usually bad with money. Well, Drew Brees came from a middle-class upbringing. He is a white quarterback, and he made a terrible decision with money. Who the fuck buys diamonds as an investment if you aren't selling gold records a la the Eagles or a rapper or whoever? This is
if you're a teenager on a mid-90s sitcom.
That too. I mean, as far as like bad ideas, diamonds as an investment, unless you're in a James Bond movie, and even then, I mean, this is pretty bad. Does it? You know, I hate to say it, but it kind of makes me take not. Drew Brees is still awesome. I still love him. He's still the greatest quarterback for the Saints ever. But now all of his like business empire stuff, I look at it. I'm like, does he know what he's doing? I don't know anymore.
No, I don't think he knows what he's doing. I'm sure just somebody just said, hey, throw a shit ton of money at these sandwich places. And I'm sure he's just like, all right, fine. I'll cut a check. I don't give a shit. People will go because they know I own them. I mean, look, you could tell him open any kind of business probably, or you could have at some point, and he would have cut a check for you. But now, thanks to this asshole with the diamonds, you know, I guarantee you, you know who's more pissed at the ring guy, at the diamond guy, than Drew Brees is Drew Brees's other business partners or would be business partners, because now that guy's screwed the pooch for everybody. It's like, man, I really wanted to pitch Drew on this idea for this. Can't do that anymore. Because old fucking Jim Diamond there had to go and sell him, you know, some genuine cubic zirconium.
I mean,
look, the only way this story could have gotten worse was if you found out that these were genuine conflict diamonds and Drew Brees personally watched the poor indigenous peoples of Western Africa get fucking beaten while searching for them goddamn diamonds.
Yeah. Brees testified that he and Moridi had an agreement. Moridi would charge the couple wholesale prices.
Wait, what is this guy's name?
What's that?
What's this guy's name?
Moridi? Moradi?
Okay.
Moridi would charge the couple wholesale prices and receive compensation from sellers, similar to how real estate agents are compensated by those selling a property rather than those making the purchase. Moradi's attorney said Brees never solidified this agreement in writing. He also said several pieces did not fall under the agreement since they were already in Moradi's possession when the sale took place, and Moradi wasn't seeking them as investments on the Brees' behalf. Dude, Drew, I work in advertising for this podcast for like ads that barely clear four figures, and I get that shit in writing, son. Come on now.
Wait a minute, hang on. You're clearing four figures?
I mean, for like, you know, we got a guy. I can't reveal it because it's a great sponsor. He's gonna pay a pretty good amount for the whole. He's gonna start in July and he's gonna go through December. You know, and it's gonna like the whole 6 months. You know, it'll be four figures. But but you know, I mean. I'm getting that shit in writing. He wants it in writing, right? Because it's money, and you do it. You like write up a contract. Jesus, you know.
Right. Let me tell you, the pro wrestling business, like the independent pro wrestling business, they don't do shit in writing. And I can assure you, there's a lot of shady motherfuckers in the professional wrestling business.
Professional wrestling is shady?
Yeah, I know. Surprise. Breaking news. The independent scene is filled with shady, backstabbing, conniving people. So take a page from that. Get shit in writing.
Get shit in writing.
Or have multiple witnesses.
Multiple witnesses. I mean, Drew, but you don't do your deal with the Saints on a handshake. Come on now. Just say it. You know.
Right. I mean, shit, look at the college sports scene. It's like you get guys talking about, oh, we got a handshake agreement. That don't mean the motherfucker's putting your cat, you know. That don't mean the guy's definitely coming. Shit, there's kids that'll pick up the cap and put it on their head. And you know, some of the time they'll change their fucking mind and go somewhere else.
I mean, I think Andrew is right. Whenever he gets here, next year's bracket is gonna be Drew Brees' worst investment.
I mean, we should just start making those up at some point.
We'll see. We'll try to trick people which ones are real and which ones aren't. So
to tell Drew to bet on the Washington Generals.
What's more likely to happen in the next year, Kevin?
Okay.
The Saints win the Super Bowl or walk-ons goes completely belly up?
I'm going to say walk. Here's the thing. I barely know what that is. So, and I'll still say they go belly up because like shit, don't like 60% of all restaurants go belly up in the first 3 years.
It's like 2 years. Somebody said, the Generals are due, Kevin. That's what Saints Recline said.
Right. Exactly.
Well, Ruth Chris, who is a famous restaurateur from New Orleans, she always said, you want to make $1 million in the restaurant business? Start with $2 million. That was her joke that she used to give at talks and conventions and stuff. So
right, that right there tells you everything you need to fucking know. I guarantee you, she's getting like. You want to know where she's making her money? Really making her fucking money? Giving speeches to people at
that's
private
like,
engagements. Hey, you come by and talk. About how fucking great we throw the steak in the butter and bring it to you piping hot and sizzling and it's amazing. Yeah, give me six figures and I'll come talk to you.
I'll tell you. Why don't you just cook me the steak? Okay. Who is the? Well, I don't want to get political, but there's a lot of people that I always feel like that. Even when my company that sends me places, they give me like they let me go to conferences. They pay for me to go. I always feel like that when I'm at a conference and they're like, this person is so brilliant and they've done all this amazing things and they've made millions of dollars SEO. I'm like, if you were so brilliant, you wouldn't be given speeches. You'd have your own island. You know, like the super mega rich don't really do books. I mean, even Warren Buffett, who's like mega millionaire, he doesn't go and like, he might have books, but he doesn't go on like a 30 city speaking tour. But, you know.
Oh, no, he doesn't do that shit. But he's so fucking rich, people will come to him. Like, that's the thing. People will come to him, put a camera in front of him and say, well, Warren, what about this and this? And he'll just say, I don't know, you know, this and that, blah, blah.
Let me tell you something. No, I was going to say, let me tell you something, people. I know with the Saints win, there's a lot of people out there that want to start their own podcast and they want to get going because the Saints fun when the Saints win. Let me tell you something. If you ever start your own podcast and you go to a podcasting convention and me and Kevin are one of the main speakers, you got fucking had, okay? Let me just say that. Because if I'm giving a speech on how to be a great podcaster and Kevin's with me, me and Kevin, we are just there for the fucking money. We don't know what we're talking about, and we have conned our way into a giant appearance fee.
I can assure you, I can assure you, my plane ticket will have been paid for because I ain't flying. I am tight with my fucking money.
I'm tight with my money because I got a kid now. The kids are just a drain, man. I love him, but he's just the money just. I'm like the Joker in Batman. It's just on fire, you know?
Yeah, I'd love to have a family one day. I don't know how the hell I would afford one. You know, like that's how I look at it. I don't even have college debt. That's the thing. Everybody talks about, my college debt's really got me underwater. Yeah. Boy, I sympathize with all the people with college debt. I don't even have college debt, and I'm, you know, hanging on by the skin of my teeth.
I took out a fertility loan to have the kid, and silly me, we were like, oh, you buy a fertility package. It's like, it'll never take us four times to have this kid. It'll take after one or two tries, and then we'll just pay it off early. That 12% interest rate, it'll be fine. That was a horrible idea with me. I am terrible with money. I love my kid, but that fertility loan was a fucking anchor.
You better remind him when he's old enough to remember that.
Yeah.
My wife.
When we paid off that fertility loan last July, I made
My wife.
Take me to the German restaurant, Kevin. I fucking celebrated as hard as I did when the Saints won the Super Bowl, because it was like getting a giant raise, because the fertility loan between the credit cards and the loans and everything was almost our house note. So I was euphoric. But people don't care about my and your financial dealings. The Saints actually had news. I was trying to wait for Andrew, but he's dragging. The Saints actually signed a corner today, Kayvon Webster. Kevin, I'm like you. I didn't know who he was. I searched for his GIF. He played for the Rams. He tried to play the last couple years, but he's been hurt. He played for Denver before that. He was pretty good. But my thing is, maybe it's just the scars from all the corners getting injured. And, you know, that was what, in 2015 and 2016, or in 2017, even when they had Lattimore, right, they had the week where Crawley was out and Lattimore. And then the 2 years before that, they had Delvin Bro with his leg and then all those injuries. So I am like an old man. Like, you know, your grandparents, they grew up in the Depression and they're like, gotta save money, banks are bad, bury some money in the backyard, put it under the mattress. I'm like that with corners, Kevin. I just want the Saints to have as many fucking corners as possible. So I was like, Saints signed a corner. He started in the NFL. Beautiful. You can never have enough.
Right, but the last 2 years, you just said he's been injured.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's not going to be like starting. He's got that Kevin Durant issue. If you're watching the finals tonight, as you're listening to this podcast, where he had the calf / Achilles deal, where it's like both, like he didn't blow it out, or he did, and then he hurt the Achilles, and then he had a calf, and then he had the Achilles, and then it's that injury going back and forth. So it's not like it was a knee and then an arm and then a collarbone. Like, it's just, that's the main issue with him. And yeah, look, the Saints medical staff, it's Dr. Spaceman from 30 Rock. But I mean, as a flyer, it's good. And Kevin, here's the thing: if it gets to where you need him to play, the choice isn't like a good corner. It's either, do you want the guy Kayvon Webster that has actually played and started in the NFL, or do you want the UDFA from Podunk U at corner? Like, you know, that's the thing when we get down to this guy. Like, if we're debating whether he's a good idea to play him in October, it means like the plague has hit the secondary.
I mean, that's a fair point. I just look at some of that shit like, you know, would it be the worst thing if you're going to, I mean, would it be the worst thing to take the guy from, you know, some UDFA from, you know, Youngstown University or wherever the hell, like maybe some Division II college or something.
And he played two games last year. He's played 67 games total. He's 28. You know, he's only started 13 games. He started two for Denver. He's not great. But I mean,
he's not a starter.
He's basically, I would say he's a super long shot to make the team. But you know, the thing is, Kevin, and I said this to Andrew on the breaking news podcast, which you should sign up for the daily podcast. It's only $7 a month. If you were a daily member, you know, you got the normal Monday one at 8 o'clock. And then me and Andrew did a breaking fucking news podcast complete with, this sound effect mixed in, so that's why you should be a supporter, a patron. But I said to Andrew, I was just happy the Saints had some news to talk about, because over the weekend, Saints Twitter, we get into the dog days and we start fighting amongst ourselves, Kevin, about the age-old topics, like, is Archie Manning overrated? And people that have actually never seen him play are arguing about it and threatening each other violence and telling each other to DM and call me, tell me where to meet you so I can punch you in the face. So I'd rather talk about that than have the 9,000th argument of whether Archie was overrated or not. And by the way, filibuster for 30 seconds because I have to blow my nose.
Okay, well, you mentioned before we went off, we went on the air, like asking me which intro we wanted to use. You said the John Wick intro. Here's a Cariello-esque confession here from me. I have not seen any of the John Wick movies, and unlike Dave, I know John, to be ashamed
seen,
wait, of
wait,
that.
Wait, 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 wait! You haven't seen any of the John Wick movies?
No.
Oh
no.
Man!
But, no, no, John no, Wick here's movies the thing. Are. I know that they are amazing. I have not seen a single bad thing said or written about any of them. And those movies look like they would be right in my wheelhouse. But unlike Dave, I can admit this is an absolute fault of mine.
I haven't seen the third one. The thing about the John Wick movies that are awesome, and that's the thing that I was so with having a kid, it's just hard to get to the movie. So I'll watch the John Wick movie, the third one, it comes out on my giant TV. But the thing that makes it awesome is like the third one, like John Wick is a celebrity in the movie because nobody can kill him. So it's just like the John Wick movies are making fun of themselves as the movie goes along, which I am totally for. And like Keanu Reeves, like I wouldn't say he's a great actor, but he's like a football player that like has certain skill sets. Like if you put him in the right spot, he's amazing. You know, like in the Matrix movie, Keanu Reeves is fucking unbelievable. But if you put him in a romance movie where he really has to like have range, it gets dicey, you know? Like, what's the movie where, like, Charlize Theron has cancer and he, like, meets her and she's, like, a hippie or something?
Yeah. The Lake House? Is it called The Lake House?
Yeah, it is The Lake House. Hey, Super Deformed, that's not a waste of $7. It is a total waste of $7 to be on the podcast. Yeah, I think it's The Lake House. I get all the Keanu Reeves and the Nick, like I get confused on what bad romance movies he did and the Nicholas Spark ones that my wife watches. I know, so that's the thing. Thanks to Tom Stewart and Abby Sane in the chat room. Arthur Mallett was another of the corners that people were excited about when the Saints had injuries. Remember when they signed him, he was kind of interesting in the preseason, and then another team signed him, and then they had all the injuries, and we're like, man, if we'd have had Arthur Mallett, this would be better. So that's it. So that I was just happy, like, that's when you, like, back to the dog days, Kevin, like, I mean, what besides Archie Manning being overrated, like, what is a go-to Saints argument in the summer where we have nothing to talk about so we will yell and scream at each other? I had somebody, David Grubbs, who's a nice guy, I never talked to him in real life, but on Twitter he's really nice to me, he was saying that Deuce McAllister is overrated. And that it's not like a top four running back in Saints history.
Oh, wow. I showed up at the best time.
You did.
Jesus.
Well, that's a take.
That's a take. So, Juge, who did you beat tonight at tennis? What 70-year-old man? Did he have a walk?
This was actually our last match of the season, which is why I'm late. We decided to all go get beers afterwards. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Glad you have priorities. Me and Kevin were just talking about bad Saints argument, but we were talking about and I told people that me and you talked about it on the breaking news podcast today. But Kayvon Webster, me and Kevin were trying to figure out who is the worst of all the UDFAs. Was it Devontae Harris? Who is the worst of all the UDFAs that the Saints have had to plug in at corner?
Well, when you say worst, you mean a guy that had to go in and was just an epic disaster?
Yeah, like Brandon Browner doesn't count because they paid him $5 million a year.
Right.
Or Jason
Dave. Well, he wasn't a UDFA.
Yeah.
I mean, Devontae Harris is kind of the one guy that stands out to me off the top of my head.
BW Webb was pretty terrible, but I have a soft spot.
Yeah, but he wasn't a UDFA. He was a free agent.
Oh, yeah. He was bad. I mean, trying to think. Who? Travis Fredericks.
He was a free agent. I mean, he was a UDFA with someone else, but he didn't come in, you know, his rookie year trying to play like Devontae Harris. I mean, you know, in terms of draft picks, I mean, you could throw like Johnny Patrick and Corey White. Like, those guys were awful. Okay. I would say that they were equally bad as Devontae Harris. I would put them in the same league. But
Corey White, he was he might have not been a UDFA in fact, but in spirit, he was a UDFA.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Webster is I'd feel at least better than him, but when I dove into his stats, it scared me, Andrew, which we didn't do on the podcast today. He's only started twice.
He started twice last year for the Texans, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but he started 14 games for the Rams before that.
Did he? I was looking at
it. For one season there, I thought he started a good number of games.
He started 11 games in 2017 for the Rams.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I don't think the Saints are, again, like, it's like we said on the podcast, I don't think the Saints are really counting on him for much. Like, it's one of those things where if he makes the team, we should be worried. Like, he's competition, he's a camp body. And if he doesn't make the team, that means the guys ahead of him did what they were supposed to. And so I think the only concern here is if he makes the team. I have no problem with them signing anyone from Adam as a camp body. It does not matter. I don't care.
Even Adrian Peterson?
Well, that never bothered me like it bothered Kevin. But sure. But sure, like, come on down. Like, a camp body is never going to bother me. It's just another guy that you're bringing in that's giving him an opportunity to make the team if he can earn it in training camp. Most guys don't do it because they're terrible. And if Kayvon Webster is as bad as I think he's going to be, then he won't make the team.
All right. So we need to talk about that happened last week, like right after we did the big show. The Saints Hall of Fame. They added in Reggie Bush. They added in Colston. Kevin, they're both worthy candidates. But my thing is, are we going to elect everybody on the 2009 Saints except Darren Sharper because he's not eligible because he's in state custody right now? But is everybody else on the 2009 roster, are they getting into the Saints Hall of Fame?
Why wouldn't Sharper make it?
Why wouldn't
let's talk about that for a second. I mean, he's become a terrible person post football, but yes.
Well, I mean, I think he was a terrible person during football, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. Like, that's the weirdest thing about him, Kevin, is all his terribleness
is
post football. Like, I say this and people might take it the wrong way. I would watch a 30 for 30 on Darren Sharper if he was honest and did the interview in prison, because all his insanity is post football. Like, he wasn't doing it and hiding it and all his, like, it's all
and that we know of.
Yeah, we know.
I mean, there's no evidence. There was no history of him being sketchy at William and Mary. There was no reports of him in the NFL doing anything. So, I mean, that's one of the things. Yeah, it was, the whole thing was so weird. But so you go back to like CTE and all this concussion stuff, and Sharper, I mean, was a headhunter. You know, I mean, he played 15 years in the league, ripping guys' heads off, and it really does make you wonder, like, just between the CTE, the killed brain cells, and what did that guy do to his brain? And could that have played a factor in what he became after football?
Maybe, but you can't put him in. I know it's just on field stuff, but it's all factor, right? Like, that's one of the things that got Reggie Bush in, right?
His that's why Chuck Muncy is in the Saints Hall of Fame, right?
I thought Chuck Muncy was in the Saints.
He's not. He is not.
He's not. Yeah. So, I mean, Chuck Muncy, though, he like repented and got right, you know.
Wait a minute. Hang on. So educate me. What am I missing with Chuck Muncy?
I mean, he did a lot of coke.
He had a big cocaine problem, and he was. Okay. I mean, it was so bad. I mean, he was a great player, but it was so bad that like pre-snap, basically Archie Manning had to be his babysitter and be like, "All right, I'm gonna hand it off to you, and you're gonna go left here." Like before every play, he would have to tell him where to go because he was so high, he had no idea. And I mean, he just became such a locker room problem and had so many issues that the Saints traded him, and he fizzled out pretty quick.
Was he running drugs? Was he?
No.
I think he was just an addict. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean that was his reputation and that was kind of his history. I mean, he played 4 years with the Saints and that was kind of the thing. Like, yeah, he was really good, but it was a bunch of untapped potential because he couldn't keep his head on straight. And, you know, I think Muncy is one of those guys that could have been a lot better than he actually was. If, you know, he had kept his nose clean. I mean that literally.
Literally.
But yeah, I mean, I think Muncy's one of those guys where I think when you talk to the people that are voting on the Saints Hall of Fame, they'll be like, I'm not voting for that guy because he was a locker room problem and he was an addict and he didn't help us win games. He caused problems, even though he had good stats.
Yeah, he went to prison. He was sentenced to 18 months in federal prison. Having pleaded guilty to intending to, Kevin, you're right, intending to sell 2 ounces of cocaine to a friend. He turned his life around after prison, pursuing business interests and sharing stories of his drug problems with at-risk youth. That's off of
how much is 2 ounces of coke?
I mean, 2 ounces of coke.
I know somebody in the chat room knows how much 2 ounces of coke is.
That's a lot of coke. It's enough to get you serious jail time, for sure.
Well,
I mean,
clearly,
coke is measured in grams, and they send you to jail, man.
An 8-ball is 3.5 grams, right?
I love that. An 8-ball is 3.5 grams, right?
Right.
Fucking huge.
Juge is out playing tennis, and during the set crossover, he's snorting the fucking lines.
I mean, everyone knows that, right?
No!
So, 3.5 grams. I mean, an ounce is what? It's how many grams is an ounce? Like,
see, this is why we need the metric system.
And
the metric system is socialist.
I mean, an ounce is like 50 grams, I think.
Hang on a second.
So two ounces of coke is a lot.
All right, hang on. I'm the idiot with a fucking
28 grams in an ounce. So that's
okay. I overshot that a little bit, but so still. So how many grams in an 8-ball?
All right, hang on.
Three and a half.
How many?
Did I nail that?
Yeah, so 56 grams. 56 grams, man. 56 grams, depending on when Muncy got arrested. It doesn't specify in Wikipedia. If that's post get tough on crime stuff in Congress, 56 grams, man. They'll put your fucking ass under the jail.
Wait. So that basically means 1/8 of an ounce is an 8-ball. Right?
Yeah.
So 2 ounces would be 16 8-balls.
That's a lot of 8-balls.
That's a lot of
cocaine. I feel like this podcast, that's the most important piece of information.
Hey, we nailed some math. I just want to say, like, that was unbelievable.
Oh, my God. Hang on a minute. Hang on.
Endo says, Juge has been lying this entire time, and tennis is code for doing 28 grams of coke with Muncy.
Yeah.
No, hang on. Wait a minute. This is great. How much? How many? This is boy. It all comes back. How many? Okay, so an 8-ball. So everything we talked about. An eighth of an ounce. How many grams is in an eighth of an ounce? Or no, how many grams is an ounce of Coke?
28.
I want to make it very clear here that I am not a participant in
illicit drug use
activities. Yeah.
And we do not support or condone illicit drug use except during football season after the Saints have lost.
Okay. How many grams in an ounce of Coke? 28.3.
That's exact.
God, I really hope my kids never listen to this.
So that's the thing. So
they're gonna pull up archives of our podcasts when our kids are in their teens.
That's not true, man.
Did you or did you not talk about a
climate
bottle of cocaine?
Climate change is gonna drown us all, and the cloud will be ruined. There won't be any record of this.
Fingers crossed.
So I feel like, especially now, like, I think Chuck Muncy is eventually going to get in the Saints Hall of Fame. Like, I don't
think
the
I
think so. Like, the drug stigma is gone. I especially since he's turned his life around.
I would agree with you if the Saints hadn't won a Super Bowl. But now that Sean Payton has made it clear that, like, you get in and you get in and you get in. Like, I just think Meacham, Devery Henderson, I mean, hell, Chris Reese. Like, I just – all those dudes are going to get in before Chuck Muncy. It's Steve Gleason. Like, where does it stop? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think all those dudes get in. Like some Jonathan Goodwin. Like, who's kind of like a guy that was on the Super Bowl team that was pretty good? Like, Anthony Hargrove. Like, does Chuck Muncy make it before those guys? Man, I don't know. When you think about the fact that Loomis and Sean Payton – or guys that influence the choices there, why would they pick a guy that played in the 70s and had a Coke problem when they could pick Jeff Charleston? I'm just telling you, man.
Here's the thing. Let's do this. Let's do speed round, and I'm going to name a player, and you just go yes or no, and I'm going to alternate between you two. Kevin, Mike Bell, Saints Hall of Famer, yes or no?
No.
Pierre Thomas, Andrew?
Yes.
Reggie Bush is already in. Lionel Hamilton, Kevin.
No.
Drew Brees.
Fuck you for asking.
Robert Meacham.
Yeah.
Heath Evans.
No.
Devery Henderson.
Yes.
Mark Brunell.
No.
Somebody named Kyle Eckel.
The fullback.
No.
He came in for Heath Evans when Evans got that injury.
Colston is in. Kevin, your boy, Jeremy Shockey.
Yes.
I would go no.
David Thomas.
No.
Lance Moore. He's already in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kevin, Darnell Dinkins. Caught a touchdown. 2009.
No.
Troy Humphrey.
Hell no.
Courtney Roby.
Ooh.
Ran a kickback, had a huge return in the NFC title game.
I go no, but that one's tough.
All right, Kevin. Jonathan Vilma, he's in, right?
Oh, yeah.
Andrew, this is controversial. Roman Harper.
Yes. I think he's in.
We talked about Darren Sharper. Kevin, another controversial one. Scott Shanley.
Yeah, fuck it.
Andrew Tracy Porter.
See, Shanley's another one. Like, Shanley gets in before Muncy, I think. Tracy Porter, I would say yes, absolutely.
Oh, that should be a lock.
Yeah.
Tracy Porter should have his own wing. They should just do the 2009 playoffs on a loop. Scott Fujita.
I think so, yeah.
Will Smith is already in.
Yeah.
Kevin, this is interesting. Malcolm Jenkins?
I'm inclined to say yes.
No. I would say no.
Andrew, Jabari Greer?
Yes.
Anthony Hargrove, Kevin?
Yeah.
No.
Charles Grant.
That one's hard. That one's really, really hard. That's a 50. That's a 50-50.
Randall Gay, Kevin.
That one's tough too.
I'm gonna say no.
Yeah, I agree.
Cedric Ellis.
Ooh.
No, you can't put fucking Cedric
Ellis. Yeah, I think no.
They're gonna have to expand. They're gonna need another floor for this. Some guy named Pearson Prelue.
No. It's Prelo, but no.
Prelo. Troy Evans. No. Good, solid white linebacker, no. Fan favorite.
No.
No.
Remy Adele.
No. He didn't pee on the Falcons logo though.
No. I'm gonna say this guy and you're
he
gonna
deserves
laugh,
a wing for that.
This guy deserves to get in. You're both gonna laugh at me. I don't care. I'm gonna tell you why. Marvin Mitchell, because his celebration when Tracy Porter intercepts the ball in the Super Bowl as he's high stepping along the sideline along with Tracy Porter is magnificent, and he should be in the Saints Hall of Fame just for that.
Yeah, it's still enough.
Chris Reese.
I'm going to say no.
Kevin, DeMario Presley.
No.
Jonathan Casillas, big part of the ambush.
No.
Bobby McCray.
No.
Mike McKenzie, Andrew.
Yeah, eventually, yes.
Lee Torrance.
No way.
No.
He's a coach.
He is on the Saints coaching staff, though.
The Carpenter, Jeff Charleston.
No chance.
Osama Young.
No.
No.
Chris McAllister.
No.
Some guy named Anthony Waters.
No.
Kendrick Clancy.
No.
And Jason Kyle.
No.
Oh, and Jonathan Goodwin. I'm surprised. Jonathan Goodwin.
Yeah, I was going to say, Goodwin's tough for me. I'm biased. I would say yes. I love Goody.
That's the entire 53 plus anybody who played. So the last topic I want to talk about was before we get to the complete nonsense, and it's going to be it's funny because he's going to be okay.
Wait, where's Dave? Where's Dave, by the way?
Dave is in Washington, D.C.
Oh, right. He's stuck in.
Yeah. Right. So probably most of you saw David Ortiz of the Boston Red Sox, formerly. He was in the Dominican Republic. And he got shot in the back in an assassination attempt because apparently a drug lord thought that David Ortiz was sleeping with his wife, so he ordered him to get killed. He didn't get killed, and because David Ortiz is so beloved in the Dominican Republic, the dude that shot him, the crowd at the nightclub where David Ortiz was, fractured the dude's skull and crushed his larynx. So my question to you, Kevin, if that happened to Drew Brees, would the person who shot Drew Brees, would he survive the night in NOLA?
I mean, I like how I for starters, I like how serious I'm taking the question because I'm really considering
I thought of it long and hard too. Like
such
it,
as.
Because it depends. Where is Drew Brees? Where is
are
he?
Are there police nearby?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If there's police nearby, it's entirely likely that police arrest the guy. Now he'll, of course, whoever that person is, will get roughed up. But if there are no police around, or if police are even, say, a mile away, whoever that is, they're getting beaten within an inch of their life, if not killed by hand.
I would say.
Did you see how this? I mean, look, I don't want to get into this whole Will Smith thing, but like, if you saw how fans reacted to the whole Will Smith thing, when, you know, there was some gray area. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
the Will Smith situation was sketchy on both sides. But if you see kind of the outpour of support and anger towards the perpetrator in the Will Smith case, if it was Drew Brees, man, not only would that guy be taken out that night, I would be worried for his wife, his cousin's cousins. I mean, all the way down the line, there would be no mercy.
Oh, yeah, you're talking a total Kaiser Sose scenario.
Yes.
Nicholas says, shootings and cocaine, classic episode. The coke came first, per usual. I mean, this is going to be in our archives is our one of our best or worst episodes, depending on how.
Well, this is great timing because I actually just started watching Narcos on on Netflix. I never watched the show before, and I just I actually have a friend that I work with, and his girlfriend's dad was an undercover or still is an undercover DEA guy in Mexico, and so I was hearing her stories. I mean, just mind blowing stories. And right. Like, I can't believe this is your real life kind of stories. And so she was telling me about, you know, Narcos, and she's like, yeah, like if you watch that show, that's basically my dad. So I started watching it. And so this is all like fresh in my mind. And, you know, I feel bad for David Ortiz, but like, man, you watch that show and you're like, yeah, I'm not sleeping with any of those guys' wives. Like, I don't care. Like, I wouldn't sleep with a guy's wife, period. But the drug dealer in a cartel, like, that's probably the last guy's wife I'm sleeping with.
I'm going to say,
like, after my best friend.
I'm going to say, I'll come out with the covers on that. Like, you know, we don't know for a fact that, one, that David Ortiz was sleeping with anybody.
Yeah.
And then two, it's entirely possible Ortiz was like, okay, there's this, I'm assuming very attractive lady. And he's,
man, did he know she was the drug lord's girlfriend slash wife?
Not
you
knowing.
You go from we don't know to assuming she's attractive. I mean, that was a 180.
I mean,
you can't assume, you know, we can't assume to know that Ortiz did in fact sleep with somebody else's wife, and we can't, I mean,
his wife,
right? His wife. And honestly, out of all of that, yeah, sure, the safest bet would be that the woman was attractive.
My wife.
safest bet. The only safer bet is that my cat is gonna howl like she's trying to reproduce during the show, I would think. So, listen, as we the 49er kicker received death threats for missing a field goal years ago, they still haven't forgiven him. Do you think someone would survive a Drew Brees assassination attempt? No, they would not. I would say the local media might turn bloodlusty and be like, I hope they get the guy. I hope they get him. You know, like, because the local, like, the Saints are so beloved. Like, I think all journalistic integrity would be out the window and things would get really weird. That's just what I'm saying.
But I'm sure Jeff Duncan would find a way to dig into the shooter's past and and try and paint the picture that he's really just a misunderstood individual.
Jesus.
So, as we've talked about drugs and cocaine and shootings and murder and adultery, I think we have to get to the last sin, and that's, of course, gambling between their live in-game betting, endless props, and fantasy sports wager. There's something for everyone at MyBookie with the best player perks in the sportsbook business. They've been good to us, and we know they'll be good to you. MyBookie, they're hooking our listeners up all month. Visit MyBookie.ag and use the promo code HAPPY25 when creating your account to claim your 50% bonus. Laying down 100, you'll get an extra 50 to play. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code HAPPY25. You play, you win, you get paid. Terms and conditions apply. God damn, that was a good segue.
They will not assassinate you.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you're thinking of sponsoring the podcast, you want to get involved, you can see by that read that I'm getting like 5% better every 6 months.
Yeah, you nailed it. That was impressive.
So, I got to find – I asked for questions today, super ridiculous ones, and I didn't – and I was trying to get people because I knew in June, you know, we sort of like talked out the Saints. Do you think – this is from Saints Recline. Andrew, do you think any of our return team hopefuls are looking promising this year, or should we start trying out beer delivery guys right now?
Good question. Yeah, I mean, I feel like all the eggs are in the Marcus Sherrill's basket. You know, he's the guy that has to do it. Tommy Lee Lewis is a guy that I think most of us didn't like as a returner, but he's gone. So I don't really see a ton of competition, honestly. I mean, if Alvin Kamara is ever back there again, I'm going to puke. I don't want to see him back there on punt returns. I never want to see it again. And it's not that he can't do it. I just don't want him to get hurt on special teams. We've already done that dance with Brandon Cooks and Reggie Bush. We've gotten both of them hurt with punt returns. So hard pass, no thanks. You know, it was on this podcast that Ralph was joking about Sproles. I mean, if Sproles is back, yeah, I would want him in the mix at returner. But short of that, I think Sherrill's is the guy. I can't imagine anyone else beating him out for that job.
Kevin, Joe asks, Sean Payton shaved his head and is looking more and more like Bill Parcells every day. When will the transformation be complete?
When he uses an outdated term for Asian people when describing trick plays.
I don't feel the transformation thing because I get the appearance thing, but like I feel like Sean Payton's gotten way nicer as he's gotten older. I feel like Parcells became more and more of a surly dick as he got older.
It's true.
Payton is way softer. He's softened up big time on the media, especially.
He is. He's eating ice cream and watching Netflix.
He's a man of the people.
In the last 17 games.
Probably watching Narcos.
This is a good question from Lotus Transport. In the last 17 games, Andrew, played of 2018, what happened more, Zach Line kick returns or the black and gold actually wearing gold pants? I don't know. Brandley Hanwerger used to chart that shit in an Excel sheet, and and he's gone on to bigger and better things outside of media. So we don't have anybody that tracks the uniform things like he did. So I don't know. I don't know the answer.
He's physical therapy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Kevin, I mean, that was that was his thing,
that was
man.
His thing.
He knew when they wore what and how often they scored. Like he would break out stats of like when the Saints wear the black pants at home, they average 32 a game at night, on Sunday. You know, like he had all the stats broken down. We don't have that anymore.
Somebody needs to get a hold of Sean Fazan and tell him that his old fantasy football internet show running buddy is suggesting he take up this mantle. Mm. So somebody get on Fazan and bug his ass until he agrees to do this.
We need to get Zach Streif back on the show.
We do. Don't tell him to listen to this episode though.
No. The
drugs and the eight ball and the gram measurements may scare him off.
Yeah, he may be like, eh. Sorry guys.
Oh, he was another Zach Streif. Is he? He's going in.
Yeah, he's in.
Yeah, yeah.
So that wraps it up. Thanks to everybody Thanks to everybody for listening live. By the way, my wife wrapping up. My wife officially mailed.
My wife.
All the stuff gets shipped by Thursday. If you're owed a koozie, if you're
wait,
owed
so
a
your
magnet,
wife, your
that,
wife, your
that
wife
includes
it,
your dad,
put it in
Andrew.
The mail.
That includes Kevin. I'm shipping up. Finally, shipping you guys swag. You deserve it for being on the show. So if you don't get your swag in the next 2 weeks, DM me through Patreon and I'll make sure that you got it. Maybe you put in the dress the address wrong. Maybe I
slide into his DM.
Yeah. Well, because they can message. They can just message me. DM sounds sultry and nefarious. do that. And if you haven't signed up already, signed up for the daily podcast. Me and Andrew are doing crazy, wild shit. And other media sources like the Advocate / Times Picayune, they can't even churn out a Saints article for you every day. We're doing a fucking 7 to 10 minute podcast every single day. It's worth $7. You should do it. So that about wraps it up. Kevin is like old times, baby. It was me and you for like 25 minutes. It was like it was 2010 all over again.
It's already crashed the party.
So for Andrew, for Dave, for Kevin, for cocaine addicts everywhere, I'm Ralph Marlboro. Until next week, the bar is closed.
We love the bar with John Wick, DVD.